Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, I see here somebody named Keith wrote, hello. As you see, my name is Keith as well. My stepmom is a news anchor in Panama City Beach and sent me this picture. We laughed because she asked me, what is it? But anyway, have a great day. It's a picture of a car and somebody has a keithandthegirl.com on the big hatchback part, it looks like. But it is funny. She's a news reporter. And it's like, what is this? I'm like, but it's a .com. But anyway, that's news down there. And I hope you let her know. All right? But thank you whoever for sending that in. And thank you for whoever's car that is. That's fucking awesome.
I like that she got in touch with her son and said, what app do I use to find out what this is?
Right.
It's very modern at the same time. It's interesting. Also, you're about to introduce someone.
Casey Salengo's here. Hi, Casey.
Sorry, I'm being rude, but I'm so comfortable with you guys. I dive right in. I don't talk the whole time. This one, I love you guys. Is this lady just taking pictures of stuff like bumper stickers?
And going, what is this?
Son?
What the fuck
is that? If you don't know what this bumper sticker in a car is, why do you care enough to take a picture and send to your son? That sounds exhausting.
She's also sending pictures of like fish on the back of people's bumpers. Why is everyone so into fish around here? Is this a fishing county? What's going on? Inquiring minds want to know. Sadia noticed, Casey, that you're here. And she said, aw, I feel so maternal towards Casey. You look so cute.
My uterus lining
must be about to gush.
Now, what?
That took quite a turn. It's from the same thing, from a maternal feeling towards Casey, then he's looking so cute, then the uterus lining must be about to gush.
Does she have kids?
She does have kids,
yes. Oh, God, no. Well, let's move on. That's disgusting.
No,
we don't like it. It's gross. Kids are making her gush. I don't think she means blush either. Week on Sunday. It's a new day for Silent Trailers. We've never done it on a Sunday, I think. New time as well, 6 p.m. Eastern. This Sunday at 6 p.m., we'll be live on the Keith and Girl YouTube channel with Silent Trailers. I'll be up against Mike Kaplan, Christian Finnegan, Ben Katzner, Carmen LaGalla, and hopefully we'll see you there. Backstage passes will be available later this week, keithandthegirl.com/tickets. Meanwhile, our Kickstarter is now available. Get your rewards right now. Some are limited, so you got to snatch them up. Not to be gross, but you got to snatch them up while they're still available. Not trying to be sexy, just a turn of phrase. Thank you for everybody that helped back the Kickstarter, keithandthegirl.com/kick. It's a big deal. Take a look at the video we have there. Take a look at the info, and we appreciate it very much. Casey, how you doing in general? Good to see you.
I'm feeling all right. Just hustling, bustling, keeping grinding, keeping moving.
How so?
I've been doing TaskRabbit. You guys know what that is?
Yeah, I do it all the time, but I call.
I've started doing it, and it's wild. I got 15 five-star reviews. People are saying I'm on the best tasker of all time.
Okay.
What are you making? What are you building? What are you doing for people?
Nothing. I thought I'd be building. Here's what my jobs were at first. First, I had to drive to Dave & Buster's at 10:30 a.m., to plug in a phone charging station.
Okay.
That was it for $16. Apparently, they couldn't ask the people at Dave & Buster's to plug it in. I went up to the bar to ask where it was, and there's one guy there alone at 10:30, and he was asking the bartender, he's like, you guys got screwball whiskey? And the bartender's like, yeah. And he's like, can you pour that on my cheesecake? And the bartender's like, you just want me to dump it on the cheesecake? And the guy's like, yep. And he's like, we don't do that. And he goes, Chili's does it. And I was like, this place is fucking awesome.
Whoa.
this guy's getting liquor, dumping his cheesecake at 10:30. So I was there. I hung out, played Guitar Hero for a while.
That's where you spent the $16. Did you say?
Yeah, it's all gone.
Are you exaggerating when you say 16, or does TaskRabbit take that much?
It's dependent on the job. So, you know, plugging something in is $16. Tomorrow I have to cut a hole in a door to make a doorknob, and I don't know how to do that. But that's $32, so I got to watch some YouTube videos. I waited in line for a Mary-Kate and Ashley store. That was like $18. I had to buy a fish for someone as like a prank and bring it to their house and just hand it to him and I say, Branzino boys for life. That's it. I'm 36 years old. I've been on television many times. And this is what I'm doing for work. People have been treating me like, it's insane. People just treat you. I'm in some kind of full-time flower delivery deal now. I'm got roped into. Some lady tried to fleece me for like $900. That's been a wild ride.
Well,
wait, for flowers? How? How so?
Well, the flower delivery, I don't know how much. The flower delivery guy hired me for one-hour job to deliver flowers. I went to do it. Turned out to be 8 hours. 8 hours long, speeding around Brooklyn, throwing flowers at people, delivered flowers to Emily Mortimer and the guy from Many Saints in Newark. They were very nice. Then he's like, how about 2 more days this week? I do it. And I was like, whatever. Sunday of last week, he's like, you good for this week? I'm like, I didn't know this was
a job.
No, I work for you now. And he's like, oh, you didn't think there'd be more work? LOL. So anyway, I'm roped into doing that 2 days a week now. This lady wanted me to. What? Sorry.
Through TaskRabbit or just this guy found you?
It was through TaskRabbit, and then these people get your number, and then you're their personal assistant, and it's pretty wild.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Labor. I can't tell if this is good news or bad news.
I can't tell either, Keith. I'm getting paid a little bit of money. This other lady wanted me to ship all her belongings to Nashville, and then she was telling me all this stuff. She's like, I got out of a toxic relationship. I'm like, I don't know why you're giving me all these personal details, ma'am. But, you know, I had to pick it up at 4 p.m. Again, said it would be an hour job, right? Mm-hmm. Pick it up at 4 p.m. It's a carload and a half of stuff. She's pissed I can't ship it off in the post office by 5 when they close. I got to lug this stuff back to my house, drag it up 3 floors. I try to bring it to the post office again tomorrow. But I get there, there's a line. I'm going to be late for the flower delivery, so I got to drag it back upstairs. Anyway, this is going on 4 days. I got to pay with a credit card to ship this lady's stuff out. It was $600. And I was like, can you send this back? She's like, I want to see. She had some keyboard that they, I don't know if you know, they don't just send loose keyboards at the post office. You know, they have to be in some kind of packaging. And I was like, yeah, if you could send this back, it'd be great. She's like, I kind of want to see how much the keyboard costs first. I'm like, lady, I don't have... If I had $600, I wouldn't be on TaskRabbit, okay? I need this. I need to explain to my wife where the money went. Anyway, I got to go to a special shipping store.
So you're, is that what the keyboard. Is this what the $900 was related to?
Yeah, I got to go to the shipping store to pack up the keyboard.
Why are we missing $900, $600? And you go, oh, because I got work. I got What's a new that? Job. Yeah, you're like, I got a new job, so we're down $600 for now. But it should work out. That's how work works.
Yeah, of course. She was cool about it. I was kind of hoping she wouldn't notice, and I could just pocket the phone. But apparently, she looks at her credit card bill.
Are you ever in somebody's house as a TaskRabbit, and you're tempted to go, you could have done this yourself?
Like, yeah, all the time. But, you know, I'm still happy to be there.
Well, good for you.
Like the waiting in line. Yeah, when I shipped the keyboard, that was $400. She's like, go back there and argue with him. To take it, it's too expensive. She's like, tell him to unpack it. I'm like, lady, I'm not getting paid to argue with postal workers. I don't know what to do.
I'm on your side, but how does it cost hundreds of dollars to send a keyboard?
I don't know. I guess the packaging and then the shipping. I didn't know it cost that much. I'm just a guy doing a job, all right? I'm not setting prices. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Imagine kind of that you said, hey, can you mail this in and I'll pay you back? And they go, all right, you owe me $400.
That's why she's like, ship it over. Go, after arguing me, told me to fight with them. And I was like, listen, I've already done so much for this job, ma'am. I was like, I've tried to be kind of put so much work into this. I'm like, I charge you like half the labor hours because I felt bad. It was costing you so much.
Keith, I think the numbers are off. So it's $600 to get back to the credit card. It's $300 between shipping a carload of stuff, not just keyboard, and his money that he makes for doing it all equaled $900.
This is why I get people think I call TaskRabbit for stupid shit, but it seems like a to-do. I wouldn't want to be doing this, so good for you.
No, it's kind of fun, you know? The fish thing was fun. I like keeping it flexible, sexy. I can't do the same thing for too long. I lose my mind.
I got ran over this weekend by a delivery guy.
Really?
One of those mopeds, I think, because it came in hot. I turned the corner, and then this bicycle just speeds right into me because he's so close to the building. I'm on the right side. He's on his left side.
Are you okay?
I'm dead.
You're dead?
Yeah. Look at this. See if you can see this.
Here we go. All right. Damn, you're looking good, Keith.
Thank you.
Holy fuck. Oh, my God. Oh,
Jeez Louise.
Oh, yeah, brother. We could see that. Holy shit. Hey, wait, Corona. I don't understand. It was a moped or a bicycle?
It was a bicycle, but I did see that there's a battery pack on it. But then the guy sped off.
He sped off?
Yeah.
Was that from the tire?
I don't know what it's from. I hit the ground. I don't know if it's from the bike. I don't know if it's from the ground. I didn't see it until much later.
These something sliced you. Did you clean that?
The best I could. I was in the shower, I guess.
Oh.
That counts.
Pretend you need Kyle over for something else and then ask her to clean that. That's crazy.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I was debating about getting an electric bike, and now I know for sure I will, because it's better to be on that side. So much better.
The bike riders in the city are insane. I don't know how they do it. Like, it's not safe. If you're riding a car, I got T-boned in my car, so I can't, I'm stressed about that. I can barely look for bike riders. If they're in the designated area, which they rarely are, that's fine.
Right.
But they're zipping and zooming, screaming at you. It's nuts.
Well, Kenda mentioned the doctor told her that she has a leg tumor to get an MRI, and I think I was just trying to, I didn't want her having all the attention.
Wow.
Well, it looks like the guy sliced you, and he's not supposed to be on the sidewalk, and he's making bicycle and bike riders look so terrible, and I hate when they do that. And they come try. I'm a bicycle rider in Manhattan, try to keep to all the rules, but sometimes they come at you the other way, and it's fine. You know, like you said, just keep to the left. You're the one who should be slow. You're the one who should be on the defensive, but sometimes they come right at you. And, you know, I thought it was pretty safe because we have a lot of bike lanes. It's a lot safer than when I used to rollerblade right in the street in Manhattan because there were no bike lanes. So, yes, it's a lot better. But I think it's going to take us a while. We left New York City to go upstate and rode our bikes there. I come back and I'm like, oh, shit. I keep telling everyone it's really safe here. What a huge difference. Electric bike riders, and I have an e-bike pedal assist, but these guys are usually the delivery guys. Mm-hmm. And they're always in a rush, and they're always faster, and I always have to, they come around you and they stop at the red light with you, and I just let them all go usually when the light turns, because they have their finger on their trigger. They're going so fast.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I don't want to talk shit about bike riders. I'm just saying, it's insane to do it in New York City. People just park in the middle of the street. People just fucking stop in the middle of the road and get out. People will fucking just flip their car in the bike lane and just walk away. Like, none of the drivers are adhering to the rules. So you guys are in danger all the time. And I don't know how you do it.
This is how I do it.
Yeah. You're just getting clipped. Yeah. I just ride a scooter and that was even dangerous.
That the scooters look way more dangerous. But Keith, you landed on the ground.
Yes.
And by the time you realized anything, the guy was gone.
I'm getting up. He's starting to drive off. And then I couldn't care. Not that I would have ran after him, but that's the end of that.
Yeah, would you have done?
I wouldn't. So what am I going to do? Yeah.
There's no way.
I'd run him over and then give the bike back. We're even.
That's smart.
A delivery guy is not going to stop. I've seen them, I've seen this one guy hit a vehicle or something, and the guy is coming after him. This guy sped like it was, I thought I was watching a movie, up on the sidewalk, around into the thing, dipping into an alley, and then he disappeared. Because a lot of them are, under the table and don't need to be caught.
They're bringing us all our food. Like, these guys are putting their lives on the line. Like, goddamn soldiers.
It's and insane. Keith's life.
And Keith, and they're murdering Keith. It's scary out there.
I don't know how much they're putting their lives on the line, now, Hemda has this, I just brought it up, but the
tumor.
Notice that somebody found a tumor in your leg. Your MRI is this Thursday, is that right?
Yes.
And the doctor said, not a big deal, but here's my personal number. Call me immediately when you get the results, the first second you do. But you should be fine. Nothing to worry about. So now it's just a waiting game, right?
Uh-huh. Every time I think about it, I'm like, but it's a tumor. I go, he said not to worry about it. Goodbye. Let's think about something else. So I haven't been thinking about it. And then I go on our forums and it says, are you worried about Hemda's tumor? And I go, am I? I'm like, well, now that you ask me, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, no, I'm closing this tab and I'm not thinking about it until I call his personal number. He said not to worry. So I'm not worried. I don't know how you just don't worry about a tumor in a knee. And if by the way, oh, it's so common, and he's so not worried. Take an X-ray of the other knee. I just have to be here. I didn't know there was a tumor. It's not hurting. I just need surgery. So take the other. If it's so common, I better have another tumor on the right one.
Right. Mm. Check my feet. Check my hands. I don't know where tumors go now.
I do not understand how I go to the same network of doctors. I don't understand how they could pull up my thing and go, we don't need to X-ray and MRI her whole body. Does right. Every time she goes to a doctor, they find a tumor. Send her to all the doctors.
All right. So we'll see on Thursday, right? That's or terrible. Then that takes time after that, of course, right? For results.
Yeah.
Depends on what mood they're in. If you're at the in a hospital already, you get it right away.
Right.
Well.
Good luck with that.
Let's not even think about it.
Thank you. We shouldn't book Casey. He always comes on when we have bad news. Our divorces, right. Our tumors.
You think it's him? We'll check the schedule next time.
I assume this is what you talk about every time. I'm complaining about it. Just the thing. Casey's like, I got killed by a bike. I'm just like, I got tumors. I'm like, well, all right. I'm sorry about talking about my thing.
I just saw in the paper, there was an air show, and these are always worth it, these air shows, because when you see those planes do these aerial flips and loops, you're like, oh, amazing. When I say it's always worth it, sometimes they crash and die, and that's what happened in this case, but still worth it. The joy of seeing planes in a certain formation is so magical and educational. So two old World War II planes started doing performances in the air. They crashed into each other. Six people dead.
Six? How many people they got on those planes?
There were five in one plane. Five crew members in a B-17, one in a single-seat P-63.
Why are there five people in a performative air? Like I'll catch a ride with it if you're going up. Once you've done all the loop-de-loops, drop me off in Tucson.
But it is. You see these planes, they get so close to each other and they want us to ooh and ah. But when they land, do they go, oh, we did it? Or are they like, of course we did it. We can do this anytime we want. Because it's amazing to watch because it's amazing. There is a chance you will die. And too many of these crashes are happening. I think it's nuts.
Did they crashed in the air and then just went straight down and it didn't land on anybody and nobody
in the crowd got hurt. Nobody in the crowd got hurt, it seems.
Damn.
There are kids at this kind of show, right?
Of course. Authorities will continue working today on the investigation and identification of the deceased. Well, you know who's in it. Please pray for the families involved, this statement says. God only cares if you beg, so please beg a little today. Even if it's like 5 seconds, it adds up. Okay.
Who wrote that? Was that an editorial by you?
Well, this person's probably just shocked it happened and they don't know what they're saying. Beg? But that's crazy. The videos are heartbreaking. Please say a prayer to the souls who took to the sky to entertain and educate our families today. First of all, don't blame me. Okay. Secondly, educate? What do you learn at these shows?
You learn the preciousness of life.
God didn't notice a big explosion in the sky, but if we tonight we go, hey God, by the way, check out the paper. Yeah. Can you look after those families, please?
No, you got a bag or it doesn't. Please, God, do something about these plane guys. What am I supposed to ask them? It already happened. Go back in time and save the plane guys. Please, God.
It's so worth it. It's so worth it.
Outlandish.
I think that sometimes when I play a violent video game, I'm like, this is going to affect a kid. But it's worth it because it lets me let off some steam.
Sure.
You know.
But you know how much – I always played violent video games. You know. It's kind of – what is it? 50-50 nature nurture, you think?
Right, but
if you already have those inclinations, it's going to ramp them up.
It doesn't help. I mean, we got to be honest. I'm seeing that the person who developed the Oculus, the VR machine, he ended up selling pretty soon after he developed it. He sold it to Facebook for like $2 million, something like this. Anyway, he created a VR helmet. He says that if you die in the video game, you die in real life because the helmet will kill you.
Why am I paying for this? Why is this the game?
It's not, you can't buy it, of course. It's more, he's just showing you that I figured out how to do it. I put explosions in the headset and he shows us a picture. This is a working model, he says.
I thought that was just like, there's a sword. I was like, here's the deal. You put on a regular Oculus and then I stab you with a sword. New invention.
Wait, this is a new invention on how to die by suicide?
He's just saying the options are out there. He's the creator of the Oculus Rift. Palmer Luckey is his
name.
Palmer
Luckey.
Huh. He has a VR headset that will kill the user in real life if they die in the game. It could be any game, I guess. Tetris, anything. The headset is rigged with explosive charge modules aimed at the user's head. If they were to die in the game, the chargers would go off. I bet knowing my luck, it would just say like a poor connection. No!
Oh, yeah. You know how like sometimes we play poker and the game, like I get out of range or something, or the game crashes and then I lose the hand. Do I lose life now?
Mm-hmm.
Also, do you still get three lives? Also, does the person playing with you, is he now on trial for murder?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of tying your real life to your virtual avatar, he says, has always fascinated me. You instantly raise the stakes to the maximum level and force people to fundamentally rethink how they interact with the virtual world. What if it's a two-player game? What if it's a co-op?
Yeah.
I could die because you fucked up. your wife is like, come here, help me with the Oh, I'm playing a game and it's really important. I don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
This is so crazy, this kind of idea of like, hey, your entertainment should be even more real life. Now I got to watch out what kind of movies I watch, because if the main character, if I associate myself with that character too much and they die, my time is limited. That's what it feels like.
Pumped up graphics might make a game look more real, he says, but only the threat of serious consequences will make a game feel real to you and every other person in the game. So, yeah, so I'm bringing other people into the game with me.
Palmer, no, this is not.
How can you
prove this works?
Whenever you start these games, you don't know how to play right away. You always die. They don't come with instructions anymore.
Right.
Hey, guys, do you see my point now? The game should come with the instruction booklets.
Mm-hmm. I would do it if I was, if I was already, I've had enough time here. I'm going to go. I'd play some game. I'd buy this. But then what if I just master the game and I'm trapped in it forever and then become world famous? They make a TV show about me wondering, when's this guy going to die? Then I'm 80 years old. I'm still fucking kicking ass in Contra or whatever.
I'm here to put your chair together, but I got to keep this helmet on. If you can just walk me through where the tools are, I'd appreciate it. At this point, it's just a piece of office art, he says. A thought-provoking reminder of unexplored avenues in game design.
No, that's too much.
As far as I know, the first non-fiction example of a VR device that can actually kill the user. It won't be the last. This guy sees a future.
It won't be the last.
Is that a threat?
Yeah, what is wrong with you, Mr. Lucky?
The concept of video games with physical consequences as severe as death are a sci-fi staple, but seen as beyond the pale in real life. Given the popularity of motorsports, extreme athletics, etc., why?
I think you're misunderstanding extreme athletics.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching football for the hits. We're watching NASCAR too. Let's be honest, to see a crash or two. So what's the difference, he's saying? We're having aerial shows, what is the difference?
Well, we should be having aerial shows. I watch football for the camaraderie, the friendship. I like when the guys score Gatorade in their mouth. That's always nice.
his job now is working for National Defense. He makes National Defense technology.
This is sad.
So this guy's really into it.
Why are people this way, Keith?
I really don't know that. By the way, Hamda, the other day when we were on the phone, you asked me, did I see Dave Chappelle on SNL? Did I see his 15-minute, by the way, 15-minute opening monologue? And I said that I liked it. I go, yeah, I thought it was very funny. And you said, what sounded to me as if you agreed, but then I'm seeing all the complaint today. And I'm like, maybe you're, oh yeah, was more like, well, because you're not Jewish, you didn't mind all these anti-Jew jokes. What did you think about the Dave Chappelle doing shitting on Kanye and kind of hinting maybe the Jews are controlling? I thought it was funny, I thought it was subtle, but idiots aren't going to understand it. What were your thoughts being Jewish?
Yep, I was raised Jewish. I am atheist now. I denounce. No, just kidding. So
the world doesn't take all that in, by the way. If they hate Jews, it's like, okay, you did denounce? Okay.
Yeah, I'd be on the trains. Right. Yeah. No worries. I laughed. 15 minutes is a long time. At the end of it, I was like, wow, he's brilliant. I was like, stick to this. You don't know from trans things. You don't know from a couple of things. But this was very, very funny. And he did that. Recently, he wrote it recently. Maybe he had writers or whatever, but still, like that 15 minutes was solid. And yes, afterwards I was like, I know that he insinuated that Jews do, they don't not control it.
I'll tell you some
like
things,
that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to care, you know? And I thought it was funny. It was funny. I understand that there's like little aspects to it. There was also another sketch that I think even more said the Jews are like basically that. And I was like, oh, that seems extra. But I think the theme was more not for me. It was like, because Xerxes was cracking up at stuff that I was lightly laughing at, going like, that's clever. He was like, bah.
And was he laughing too much, you think? Ironically, the way Chappelle quit his job in the first place, because he doesn't like when people are laughing.
Oh, no, I actually thought about it, and I think like this is more for Black people. This is probably funnier, way funnier if you're Black. Is that weird to say? I don't know, maybe, but I think he was more talking from his perspective in that sketch with the barbershop where people were like, sometimes you don't say things. I'm like, well, he just said something completely anti-Semitic, and the Black people were like, whatever, you know? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe that's jokes. I don't want to give him a pass, but I also don't want to be the word police representing whatever I'm supposed to represent as somebody who grew up Jewish. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In the meantime, Casey, can you raise your volume extra barking? Loud?
Yeah. That's why I put her out of the room. She barks when I put her. What the fuck? I'm going to yell at her. You guys talk once.
Okay. Jesus. But make sure you keep your volume on. Perfect. All right. So in the meantime, I'll tell you some things that they said. But anyway, it did upset the leader of the Anti-Defamation League. We shouldn't expect Dave Chappelle to serve as society's moral compass. But disturbing to see NBC not just normalize, but popularize anti-Semitism. Why are Jewish sensitivities denied or diminished at almost every turn? Why does our trauma trigger response?
He goes, okay, Kanye, this is how you do it. And he reads, you know, I denounce anti-Semitism and whatever. And then he goes, and that's how you buy yourself time. And I laughed, and then I go, oh, shit, he just played me, right? Because he's lying. He's telling Kanye, just say what they want to hear and move the fuck on. But at the same time, I kind of agree with it. You are not the voice of my morality. If people want to hear...
Sorry, one second. This is just fun as fuck.
I was trying to continue with that.
Casey, for Christ's sake, just turn your sound off. Well, he has a delivery coming, and... I've heard his show and he doesn't care, but come on, Casey, Lord Jesus. let's see. Chappelle 49 opened his routine by unfolding a paper and saying and reading, I denounce anti-Semitism in all its forms, and I stand with my friends in the Jewish community. And that, Kanye, is how you buy yourself some time. After that, let's see.
Yeah, that's rude. That's rude. I laughed and then said, oh shit, that's actually not denouncing anti-Semitism. It's actually the opposite. But I already thought it was funny. What am I going to do?
In his monologue, Chappelle said that there are two words in the English language that you should never say together in sequence. The and Jews.
I laughed at that.
I've been to Hollywood, and no one get mad at me. I'm just telling you what I saw. It's a lot of Jews. Like, a lot. This is Chappelle, of course. But that doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of Black people in Ferguson, Missouri. It doesn't mean we run the place.
See, I love that. There are a lot of people in football. That doesn't mean Black people run football.
Chappelle also said that a delusion that Jews run show business is not a crazy thing to think. It's a crazy thing to say out loud.
See, I understand that that's controversial, but so what?
It shouldn't be this scary to talk about anything. It's making my job incredibly difficult. And to be honest with you,
that's some wah-wah.
That was deep.
That's,
yeah,
that's fine. It shouldn't be that difficult to say things. I don't know. It is. That's why you have a job. That's why you get paid so much. It is difficult to say things.
And to be honest, what's that?
It is difficult to say things. You do it well.
And to be honest with you, I'm sick of talking to a crowd like this. I love you to death, and I thank you for your support. This is how he ended. And I hope they don't take anything away from me, whoever they are.
Meaning the Jews.
Meaning the Jews, right? Of course.
Yeah. It took me a minute to understand that it was the Jews. I think I think Xerxes might have even had to tell me. I'm like, oh, yeah, 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 okay. That was more obvious than I let it be.
He said, this is the rules of perception. If they're black, then it's a gang. If they're Italian, it's a mob. If they're Jewish, it's a coincidence, and you should never speak about it. Casey's just jump roping right now, by the way. It's what you're hearing in the background. No problem. Not a problem at all. I didn't like Chappelle did this thing. It depends when you catch him. Sometimes he'll say, hey, nobody's taking me serious. In fact, he likes to reference his specials a lot. Like, what did I say in special number 2 that premiered on Netflix at minute 5? And I'm like, what? He's like, I said this, and you all laughed like it's just a joke. But then if you catch him, Chappelle, another time, it's, why can't people just understand I'm making jokes and I don't believe any of this shit? Because sometimes you're serious and sometimes you're not. That's what's going on.
Yeah, yes, also, yeah. We get
oh, Casey's here. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
The dog's barking because she's not allowed in the room. It's very difficult.
Can I tell you, God forbid, just in case you need it,
Christ.
Can I show you where the mute button is?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. You're so smart, Keith, and handsome. Well, anyway, the Jews. We're talking about Jews.
Casey's like, it's more comfortable if we talk about Jews.
So yeah. I get how it's really scary to speak, like right now I'm the only person representing Jews, and if I'm comfortable with it, then I am, you know, anti-Semitic myself, and I am anti my own people, and I'm not stepping up and blah blah blah. I don't know, it's SNL, it's not Congress, it's jokes, and jokes have to be on an offensive scale a little bit. I don't know.
Right.
It's hard because you were in comedy. So also like our view of things are very skewed. I feel like we put funny over upsetting.
Right.
More often than not.
But, that's true. Know. Like things that would write on paper, just be like, that's upsetting. There's no other way to look at it. We're like, but could it also be funny?
Yeah, it's tough. That's why I just talk about myself and what a fucking idiot I am all the time.
Right,
people
but I don't
mad
need
at me about that.
I understand, like in hindsight, like I don't need somebody going, I hope they don't cancel me for this at the end of whatever the fuck they wanted to say, as if giving themselves a pass at the end. But also, you know, white guys do that shit also. They start with, I know a white guy is very unpopular right now, and then they go ahead with their bless your heart and like whatever. Like we're all right. Going like, please don't think of me this way, but I'm going to try to say this joke or this thing or this thought that I have. And, you know, hopefully I could stand by it tomorrow when I think a little more deeply about it, because I am in front of a mic right now. And hopefully I won't want to take back my thoughts but maybe I will, because I'm going to learn something new and I will take it back. I'll take back a lot of things I said 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'll apologize for anything, any joke immediately. I said something mean to a guy in the crowd the other day. I couldn't stop thinking about it. 15 minutes later, I apologized to him. Lost the whole audience. They thought it was a huge, huge pussy.
To show weakness.
What happened?
Yeah, these crowds think people, you know, showing, you know, compassion is weakness. All these clips people put online are like shutting down hecklers all the time. It's warped everyone's head.
You know what? They do start looking like pussies, if you ask me. I noticed this trend where it started being something, if you're being heckled, you put it online and you're like, look how I took care of that. But now there's just more and more. And the comics are looking like assholes, if you ask me. You know, I just
they
saw one.
Like
it's somebody's in the front row. They're like, I don't know, playing with their hands, and it threw the comic. He's like, are you telling me the calluses on your hands are more interesting than me? Mm-hmm. And then they post this and I'm like, you just look like a puss.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there's times when there's hecklers being very disruptive and need to be, like, handled, you know?
Right.
But a lot of times it's somebody just, like, you know, even responding to a question you asked, and then you just belittle them and yell at them, and it's just like, why is this? I don't understand.
Where are you from? I don't know, man. Leave me alone. You don't even know where you're from? It's like, well, for what? Are we from the same place? Who gives a shit? Just tell your setup. Tell your joke. Act like I set you up. Who gives a fuck?
One comic, this lady was just like sitting in the front row. He's going through his jokes, whatever. You know, the offensive, whatever. I don't remember what he's talking about. But like, he literally goes to the lady in the front row. He's like, you're not enjoying this at all, are you? And she goes, I just don't find you very funny.
Right.
And then he just like ripped her to shreds for like 10 minutes. The whole crowd was like, yeah. And the comics in the back, and I was young, I was like, yeah, she said you weren't funny. Get her. And then I saw her talking to like one of the other comics on the show after, and she's like, I didn't even talk to him. I just,
right.
And I was like, that's true. She did. she really didn't do anything.
You know, so I didn't really think of that. I've been watching those and I'm like, oh, these are funny. And I think it is my understanding that they're posting that because this way they don't have to post material, which could be a special and like needs to be put in real form. This is a throwaway. I'm not going to be able to repeat this. So let me put it online where it repeats itself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. And I like, but I mean, when I like to do crowd work because I don't like telling any jokes. just anything to take me out of it. I was showing a lady pictures of cats back and forth the other day. That ate up about 20 minutes.
Who's to say what stand-up is, right?
But like, yeah, absolutely. Who cares? They got to give me the money no matter what, right? You got to pay me all the time.
So we got to the bottom. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying I like to be nicer to people, but I understand what your persona is.
Well, we just we talked to a Jew. And it seems we are okay with the Chappelle jokes after all.
So what did you think? As a person who doesn't have to represent an entire fucking nation.
Right. I thought it was very funny. I wasn't bored at all. 15 minutes is a long time. He can definitely push it. He didn't upset me in the least. As opposed to the trans stuff, which did upset me in the least. Those seemed lazy and self-serving, if anything.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? Thank you. That's a funny Jew joke. You thought it out. It wasn't, but don't they have big noses? That I would have been like,
right.
Yeah. Okay, truth teller. All right. Mm. What are you, an Israeli? What is that? The Israelites? Israelites?
The Black Israelites, yeah.
The Black Israelites. Only they get to make fun of my nose in the street because they're just so funny.
I feel like it was more related to him. I don't know. But like, yeah, these were more related to him and like, other Black celebrities' experiences that they're going through. That's kind of what the jokes were about a lot. Yeah, but the trans stuff is just like, you're just a rich, old, out-of-touch person who thinks this group of people is oppressing you in some way. And you do like literally know nothing, but I don't...
Right. In one of his specials, he goes, I don't give a shit, you heroin-addicted whites. And I'm like, that's an entire nation of... bunch of nations. I don't know. They took over a lot, but it's an entire group of people, and we were all like, we get to do that to whites.
Yeah. I'm reading about a kid, 11 years old. He took an IQ test, got 162. That's higher than Einstein. That's higher than Stephen Hawking. And it's actually a perfect score. Wow. Now, that'd be something if that was in your family, because I would look at the 11-year-old and be like, is what he's saying okay?
Oh my god. Okay, you know that birthday party I did this weekend?
Yep.
So on Saturday, this couple, Peter and Sarah, Peter asked Sarah to marry him on our podcast years and years ago. I ended up officiating their wedding. Yeah. They came camping with us. We're close friends. I went to do their kids' party to blow up balloons and twist them into little shapes and stuff. And what was my point? What did we just talk about? I got excited about
kids being a genius.
Oh, their kid is a genius. I know. Everybody says that their kid is a genius. And at first...
Well, no one says other kids are geniuses. You're saying that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the difference. Right. Well, at first they were like, listen, he knows how to put puzzles together. And I'm like, oh my God, he's so bright. And they're like, no, you don't understand. He's turning them upside down and putting them together. And I'm like, okay, because Xerxes and I tried with a puzzle and we needed the colors real bad.
Wait.
Just the cardboard.
Just the cardboard side.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, got this one. Next, 100 thing.
Are we nervous about that? Maybe the kid doesn't know there's another side?
So that's when he was like 3 or something, even before.
3.
Now he just turned 5. And he knows how to do like multiplication, division, exponents. He knows how to do what's like ninth algebra? Algebra. He's 5 years old.
So like, he'll know how to. So can I have another slice of pizza? Like, no, that's enough already. It's like, I know how to measure it so everybody gets the same amount. So
you said I could have 2/8. Okay. Mm. Yeah. And he's totally regular kid, playing around, jumping around, wanting the balloons. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you expect him to be?
Well, you would expect, just hearing sometimes how brilliant somebody is here. How's his IQ? Sure. How's his EQ? You know, these are usually weirdos, right?
So, sure.
Well, how you have you might have trouble relating to another child if whatever they're saying is, you know, it's a year away from what...
Einstein, for example, couldn't tie his own shoes. Stephen Hawking didn't even know how to walk. There's things that these people can't do because of their intelligence, ironically.
That's true.
So that's good. Well, this kid's around.
Socializing is stupid. So, you know, he knows how to be stupid also. That's cool, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Socializing is the dumbest thing. Say hi. Okay, hi. Say thank you for coming to my party. Thank you for coming to my party. Yeah. You know,
it so
you
can pointless.
Still do all that dumb shit.
It's kind of pointless if you're smart enough that you don't need anyone for anything else. Socializing, I guess.
Well, yeah, you don't picture being.
I would have no friends.
Picture being a sixth grade teacher and there's a kid in your class that has an IQ of 162. I'd be so nervous teaching.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, it's. He's doing math in front of me. He's playing like this math mastermind game, and I'm like, you guys are dead. And they go, yeah, we're not going to be able to give him any math things to do in about 1 minute when we run out of like the level of math that we know.
That's brutal.
He did this sequence. I want you guys to write this down at home if you want. What is the number that's supposed to belong in here? The number in order is 1, 4, 16, 16, blank, 36. 1, 4, 16, blank, 36.
Can we move on? Casey's going to try to find a pen now. It's the whole fucking thing's going to be a mess. So
quick, no, it's just pretending. I'm not doing it. I don't know what the hell's going on.
This genius that I'm reading about in the paper, the dad says, I still tell him that your dad is still smarter than you. We all take it lightheartedly. Yeah, well, the kid doesn't. He's the genius. You take it lightheartedly because the kid could walk all over you, and rightly so.
He's going to get him back for that.
Even if you are talented, the dad said, you have to be the hardest worker. You don't know about hard work.
That's not true. Hard work is overrated.
Even his school teachers, every time we get school reports, they're amazing. They say, there's nothing for us to teach.
That's wild. See, I was like, when I was in my first couple of years, we had these like different colored reading books. So you'd get like the high different colors, you'd be like advanced. And I was like five colors past everybody. I was killing it. I was like high honors. I would advance everything. Then fourth grade, I fell off a bridge on my head. And then after that, every year, the next year was like just honor roll. The next year was failing. You know, I went from like advanced math to remedial math within 1 year. I didn't know they could change you the three different math classes.
But, what happened? You got the first concept and not the next ones?
I don't know. I fell off this bridge on my head, and I think it just
literally. He's not. This isn't a euphemism. He's
Is that a euphemism?
It's not a turn of phrase.
It's not a turn of phrase. Anyway, that's my comedian.
So I'm sorry. You felt a bridge on your head?
I fell off a bridge on my head onto my head. Sorry. Cool. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I also can't speak well because of it.
Oh, is that real?
That's real. Well, that's not a funny story to make up. Why? What's funny about that? It was at a it was like a 10-foot bridge. It wasn't like, you know, the Verizon.
But on your head.
10
yeah,
feet?
Yeah, I landed on my head. I landed on my head.
I fell 2 feet.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I fell 6 feet, right? However tall I am, I fell. 10 feet on your head is a lot.
We're not good at math.
It was a lot.
Shout out to Ollie.
Yeah, shout out to that bridge.
Are geniuses suicidal? Who cares? He's fine. Are geniuses suicidal because they realize how dumb the world is?
Probably.
You know? Like,
yeah.
It must seem, if it's dumb to me, it's got to seem extra dumb to geniuses.
It's going to be exhausting.
It exhausts me as it is. This leads to this. All the Trump-backed candidates in key this is good news, though. All the Trump-backed candidates in key swing states who denied the 2020 election results while vying to be the state's top election official lost their race. Everyone. That's fun. That's exciting to see. People are waking up a little bit.
Are you guys following all that very close? It was hard. Every election is like the most important election of our lifetime now. And it's so hard. Courtney watches all these shows, you know, the comedy shows about political stuff. And like, I had a couple of years where I was very involved. I'm like, this is it. And then after Trump was out of office, I was just like, I'm exhausted. I can't listen to this. She's watching this you know, they're making fun of the Fox News, all these people. But I'm like, even watching people make fun of them is too fucking exhausting for me.
Right.
I'm too stupid. I can't handle it.
I don't follow it that way. But that first night, I did have trouble sleeping. I did try to keep the... I'm watching the results not coming in. And I'm like, why am I into this? But every blue check mark, I'm like, yeah.
I voted. That's the, you know, I figure that's the best. That's all I can do about it.
That's all you can do. Did you vote properly?
I don't know. I don't know how to do it. Courtney usually makes a chart and sort of, no, I knew how to vote for this one. But if it's like the primaries and stuff, there's a lot of shit going. A lot of times she'll make like a little, she'll just tell me who to pick.
Okay. She goes in first and then comes back with pictures?
No, she'll send me a picture of like what the what the ballot's going to look like and do little circles.
Good. And, that's you know, smart. I trust her. I do the same. I call my brother Michael. I'm like, who are we voting for?
Yeah.
He's like, all right. He takes out the thing. He goes, here's what this person's about. He gives me like basically what they're running on, like the three most important things that they've been yelling about in the last whatever. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's tough. I want to be more informed, but, you know, I got my own problems. I'm trying my best.
A man in Ohio has
landed on your head 10 feet.
Yeah, something happened to your head. Who cares?
Sit this one out.
I'm sorry I was picking on your sound. I'm surprised you're here. You know what I mean? Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Me too.
A man in Ohio was indicted on one count of aggravated murder for shooting his neighbor. This guy, Gene Combs, 26 years old, shot his 43-year-old neighbor saying, quote, I thought he was a Democrat.
I saw that. That's all I have to say about it. I saw that happen.
So of course, was he wearing blue?
You get it. Sometimes you get a vibe. He goes, okay, but officers, just tell me. Was he a Democrat? I mean, it's already done. I'm going to prison. Was he, though?
Did he think that was like a viable excuse? Why did he say they're like, oh, all right. Uncuff him, boys. It was a mistake. You didn't know. Is he just shooting all Democrats? What's going on?
You got to start somewhere, I guess. You start at home, right? Locally.
Start at home. Finish his house. Let's go next door.
A woman was busted for a crack, saying that somebody stuffed the drugs into her pocketbook between the time she lost her purse on the subway and when she retrieved it from the NYPD.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Kenesha Barrett, 41, is a parent advocate with a foster children organization, blah, blah, blah. She was surprised that, let's see, she was suspended at work because of this, a job she needs more than ever, she says, because of her children, and her husband happened to be murdered playing a dice game in Harlem, so she's a single parent.
Was he Democrat?
Right. I've got bills to pay. I've got four children, a grandchild, another grandchild on the way. The drugs do not belong to me. She was on the E train heading home from her Queens office when she got off the 50th Street station, then quickly realized that she left her pocketbook on the train. As she was explaining to a transit clerk what happened, police found the bag, summoned her to the NYPD Transit District station house to retrieve it. When she got there, she confirmed the found items as hers, as well as items in the bag, including her work laptop and a small amount of marijuana, which the police didn't have a problem with. But there were other... So it sounds like the police said, so this, check, see if you're missing anything. And then she goes, no. Like, okay, interesting. You're under arrest because there's a crack in your bag. There were other things, perfume, feminine hygiene product, and Fig Newtons that she says did not belong to her. She thought that was odd. What's that?
Someone put Fig Newtons in her bag?
Yeah. She goes, so first she lies about the crack, and then she's like, oh, I can't just say it's the crack. I don't even know where Fig Newtons are came from.
I'm on her side.
Yeah.
Things got even stranger, she said, when she saw on the police report that 14 capsules of crack were found in the bag. She believes that in the hour or so that she was without her bag, somebody put all this stuff into her purse.
Yeah.
Interesting. She was initially charged with misdemeanor drug possession and weapon possession. She had a scalpel that she carries in her jacket pocket for protection. But they're not going to charge her with that. It's just the crack. Police also told her that there was a warrant out for her arrest involving a bottle in 2020. Barrett said the incident was an argument with a longtime friend, and she wasn't even aware that she was still being sought after. The DA is letting that go. She was released without bail. And she'll have to go to court on December 12th. I know I've got a good case, she says. This is defamation. I picture the cop, you know, these cops, they try to trick you. It's like, okay, it's not yours, but we're going to test you for cocaine. Just see if you do it. In fact, just tell us the truth. That's all we ever really wanted. And she's like, okay, can I get my phone first? I got to look something up. Mm. You know.
Yeah. How can you prove she lost the bag? I don't know.
What a waste of time.
It didn't fall in there. Yeah. Just let her go. Called him a, you know.
You know, I get it. She has children. She works with children. Yeah. I understand that you might be concerned if somebody is doing crack in that line of work, but I don't think that jail is the answer. I don't think that having her children taken away because, you know, once you're in jail, you can't go to work the next day. Now work knows you're in jail. Now you lost your job. Now you're having trouble feeding the kids. Now you have to find a place where they have to be while you're in jail, while you're going to court. Now you have no job. Who's taking care of everything?
Yeah.
All because you found crack. Instead of going like, hey, if you're taking this, we're going to take you to this facility or teach you how to get off it or figure out what to do. No, they are now destroying the lives of this mother and her children.
Mm-hmm. What if she just wants to do crack, you know? It's hard having kids and a job with kids. My mom smoked crack. I'm doing great. Look at me.
Yeah, remember that time she took you over to see that bridge?
She wasn't there for the bridge, but she did not call the doctor afterwards. But
how much crack did your mom do and for how long?
I didn't know. My sister didn't tell me until years later, apparently. She was dating this guy named Ace. Apparently he smoked crack. She said one time there was a lottery ticket. There was like a, you know, $800 million lotto that nobody claimed. And we bought a ticket. And we lost the ticket. We're tearing up the whole house looking for it, the whole family. My sister said she found a bunch of crack accoutrement. She was older. She didn't tell us about it. She told me one time when she was drunk. She's like, Ace got me to smoke crack. I'm like, you don't have to tell me everything, Mom. Let's just watch TV. I don't want to hear about it.
So looking back, was there like, did she handle it well?
Did you guys win $800 million?
No. Luckily, like a year later, some guy from Florida found it. Or else that would have been, that would have been the saddest part of the story.
It would have haunted you forever, of course.
I know.
But was that kind of?
Did you notice in hindsight, did she keep pretty straight for being on crack?
Yeah, she's doing okay. She had a job, you know, we got dinner most of the time.
Is it your fault that you never asked how she's doing? Because obviously she was doing crack around you.
I know. I was being insensitive. It was my fault. I should have talked to her more.
Everybody's focused on their own schoolwork. And how are your parents? Are they on crack? How about find out, kids? Get involved. Mom, have you seen this? Mom, do you know this? Hey, did you know? I'm 5 times older than you. I know. Oh. How about you ask about me? There's shit you don't know. How about that? I'm on crack.
How's your mom doing now? Have you asked?
She's not smoking crack. She's got COPD, so I don't think you can smoke crack. It's like a lung disease. Might be related. I don't know. Okay. She's doing all right. She works at a grocery store. I don't know. Enough about me. How you doing?
Okay.
Enough about me. Today's guest, Casey James Salengo, but enough about him. Speaking of SNL, I see that Pete Davidson, this is not a joke, is now dating Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh, wow.
The woman that made the news from the Blurred Lines video. Oh, my goodness.
He's killing it.
He's killing it out there.
Wow. Yeah. She's a beautiful lady.
Yeah.
Oh, because she's pretty. Who is she? I don't get it.
She's just another supermodel in Pete Davidson. That's all.
She's a world famous model. She was in the Robin Thicke video.
Blurred Lines. Sorry. Naked. I'm sorry, Pete. Am I late to congratulate you on being so fucking awesome based on your adjacent situation with your penis? I'm so sorry. Did I not learn that? Am I late to saying, Pete, you go, boy? Did I neglect to say, Pete, you're still killing it out there with the women that are allowing your penis inside of them? Okay.
You did. Apology accepted.
Thank you. I'm so glad we had this segment. How can I live with myself?
Isn't it a little fascinating?
He's dating a No, it's not.
No?
I know exactly who he is. And it's going to keep happening as long as he can keep this bullshit going. It's beautiful. He will get passed around. There are guys that get passed around, and that is their job in our world as females who are interested in men. And mm-hmm. he's one of them, and that's okay. And he's one of the men, and there are some in the comedy community also where it's like, oh, you fucked him? All right. What time in your life did you have? Yeah, mm-hmm. you were going through that? All right, yeah, he's helpful during that time, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you got to let him go, right? You can't just, like, hoard that shit, right? Yes, yes, you let him go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone's being used for what they would like to be used for. Thank you. Move on with your life.
I think we have today's poll. Is it fucking fascinating?
It is fascinating. It is. I mean, yeah. I mean,
why?
You say he's got a huge hog. He's dating the, like, you know, people that are ranked by society as, like, the hottest people in society. So it is fascinating to go from Kim Kardashian to Emily Ratajkowski. Like, how much of it is genuine? How much of it is
Hollywood? Genuine this what? Gets, this we gets know what we're talking about, right?
By everybody. I don't know.
He lays down pipe. Period.
Then yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, this is the guy from
he's
SNL.
He's the task rabbit of pipes. I called him. He came. So did I. Goodbye.
How
much longer?
Pipe?
In 6 months from now, you're going to go, guess who Pete Davidson is dating? And it's going to be some other gorgeous whatever the fuck.
And I'll be amazed again.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we're not mad. We're just fascinated.
We're fascinated.
Yes, I think
you think we're upset about it.
No, I don't know.
You're just so mature. I'm just so mature. Like, what's the big deal? If Madonna's 82 and she wants to be with a 30-year-old, what's the big deal? No, nothing's the big deal, but that's fascinating. Cher's dating a 12-year-old now. That is fascinating to me. That's all.
Fascinating.
That's all. Mm-hmm.
Just something to think about. A little food for thought.
If anything, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, doing great. Yeah. How important is a big dick?
I'm happy for everybody here. I know what his job is, and I'm very happy for whoever he's doing the job well for. Good for her. Good for her.
I just think he's a fascinating person. You know, he's very successful. He's blown up. He's funny. But, you could say he's maybe not the best at any particular thing he does. But he's good enough. But he's got, like, it's a quality. He's got, like, an intangible quality that is getting a lot of
success. Hey, guys, it's not intangible. Pay attention.
I think he's the guy.
Just the big dick.
I think he's the characters he plays on the SNL. Hey, you want
to? Yeah, sure. That's very fun for about 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then if you continue, you will get hurt.
Mm.
It's let go.
Like physically Bye-bye. Or emotionally? Like by the hog?
What are we doing? You start going like, you start arguing for no reason because he's like, what? And you're like, but I thought, no, we're not thinking. It's thinking. Yeah. You just go, oh, 6 months. I see that the milk expired. We're good. No one's mad. Milk expired. Pour it out if it's left over. If it's not, you drank it. Very nice. Move along. Somebody else has to go to Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think happens? Do the women say, is that the women that ends it? What are we thinking, Khamda?
It depends where you are. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing with this dude, then you wake up in 6 months and go, okay, thank you. And he goes, you're welcome. And then that's it. But if you're not like paying attention and you're staying in your space in that head, and then you go, well, we're having so much fun, maybe he could be bad, then you're in for a world of like, you're making shit up and now you're arguing for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think did your relationships end because he doesn't get a tattoo of the person? Like, you have a shark playing a guitar, but my name's not worth it? No.
That's smart. You can't trust a guy with a huge dick. That's what I've always said.
I've said that.
They're going to lead you down the wrong path. They're not up to... No guy with a huge dick's ever done anything good for society. All right? It ain't worth it, ladies.
Well, speaking of all of this, Casey...
That's Casey's PSA.
Mm-hmm.
How's everything going with the marriage, Casey? How long have we been married so far?
Pretty good. We just had our 3-year anniversary.
Wow, that was quick.
November 2nd. Quite a delight. Things are going great.
How'd you celebrate?
We just had a nice little dinner, spent time together, movies, you know. We don't get a lot of time to spend together. We're both very busy, so just blocking out time to hang out. We don't like doing much. We like eating, watching TV.
That sounds lovely.
That's nice. That's what we like. We did that.
Good for yous.
It's good.
Do you exchange gifts?
Not for anniversary. No, okay. That doesn't seem. Yeah, I don't know why. we buy each other stuff here and there, you know, maybe one more than the other, a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Which one a whole lot?
I mean, maybe one person has a good job and makes a lot more money than the other one. You can probably infer which one it is, but everything else I've said.
When she buys something for
you. But you do the dishes, right?
I do the dishes. I take care of the dog.
Okay.
Laundry. I do what I can here and there.
The list goes on. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous when she buys a gift? Like, oh, fuck, now what do I have to do now?
No, because I'm very, I would say I'm the better gift giver.
Mm.
You know, she's got more money, but I think about it more. If she mentions something like throughout the year, I'll like, you know, write it down, save it up, so you know. See? She kind of just is like, oh, I don't know, he likes cats. I think like a robotic cat or something, or, you know, a shirt with a cat. And it's nice. That's the thought. But, you know.
So for you, it's a thought that counts. For her, it's the money that counts. But each of you get a gift and you go, that's nice.
Yes. Yes. Cool. We get a gift. And, you know, she can buy herself whatever she wants. So I have to put more thought into it. Mm. Me, I need things desperately. So
you were doing the podcast, The Good, The Dad, and The Ugly, of course. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, when we were playing silent trailers this recent time, Keith wanted to guess The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And he said, The Good, The Dad, and The Ugly. Fuck.
No, that's great. Mm-hmm.
It is now in there.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice.
In time, because you quit.
Yeah, we quit.
That's me in like a hotel. If I'm there for a couple of days, by the time it's time to leave, I'm like, no, I know where the ice machine is now. God damn it.
It does suck. Yeah, no, it was a fun time. We might record an episode this week just for fun, just to talk to each other.
Oh, so it is still going on then?
No, it's not going on. I don't know if we were basically doing it at the end just as a reason to talk to each other for an hour a week. We haven't gotten a chance. Will had a baby. As soon as the podcast name fucking made sense.
Well, how funny I think that is when the three of you are like, one has a baby, one has said we can't get our shit together. Cut to now, that show's done, but you all have your own podcasts.
Patrick does. Courtney and I are starting one. I built a little studio in the house, which took me a long goddamn time. I put all the foam on the ceiling. I walked away for like half an hour, proud of myself. I walked in, it was all on the floor. Aww. It all fell off. I had to nail it in. Anyway, we were getting ready for that. And then we wrote this little pilot TV show thing that we found someone who wanted to make. So we were putting all our work into that. We filmed that yesterday. And now that that's all done, we're going to focus on the podcast.
You guys work well together?
Yeah. I think we've got very good comedic chemistry, I think.
Okay.
I'm sexual. Hello. Kind of get it right, but yeah, we work well together. It's just hard. I don't know. I don't usually like working with other people because I know, you know, I work at my own pace. I know I'm late all the time. I know whoever I'm working with is going to get mad at me about whatever I'm doing. So I don't want to have to put that on them. So I don't work with people often. But her and I, we work well together. She still gets mad at me, but. I think that's why I do stand up. I was like, you know, I don't want anyone to have to rely on me to do anything. Mm.
Do you get nervous at all? Like, you're going to be doing a podcast. You're both used to being in charge of your shows, quite frankly. Are you worried that it could, like, is it worth it? Why push it?
It's concerned not about being in charge. I don't really care about being in charge. She's in charge of everything. But it's just, yeah, nerve wrack. I don't want something else that could cause conflicts between us getting, you know. If we've gotten I've suggested like maybe we shouldn't do these things working together because we don't need something affecting our marriage outside. This is even more important than a marriage, than getting in fights, you know? But I think we can find a way to make it work.
I'll be listening and I'll tell you. I'll tell you how it's going. All right.
Thank you. Absolutely. I mean, it broke you guys up, right?
That's right. That's right. Follow Casey online, Casey J. Slango. That's the Instagram. That's the Twitter. What else should people know, Casey?
On Twitter. I don't know. I don't have anything.
Okay.
Just follow me on Instagram.
Just follow the Instagram.
I'm doing shows on the road. I'm going to be recording a new album soon.
Okay.
Look out for that. Just follow me on social.
Yeah, come on.
I can tell you, folks. I can't remember everything.
Quit poking them, guys. Okay.
Do some work yourself.
Yeah. Calm down, everybody. Casey, so good seeing you. Kendall, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just trying to see if Sadia updated us on her uterus.
Oh, we're good.
Okay.
We're good. Thank you.
I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear it.
I don't want to hear a mother saying about... Anyways.
It's what nice. Yeah, it's... You want me getting compliments. That's it, Keith.
That's what it is. I feel like it takes away from me somehow.
You're jealous of Pete Davidson?
No, I'm fascinated by you, Casey. That's all. I'm not upset.
That's nice. I just fascinated.
KeithandTheGirl.com/kick. Very exciting stuff. I'm going to go here right now, hit refresh, and see that we are 44% funded.
Hey.
Very exciting. Yeah, take a look at every. There's a very fun video there. We're talking about doing more shows every week, et cetera, et cetera. So KeithandTheGirl.com/kick. All right. Thank you all very much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody. Love you.
Thanks, Casey.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Love you. KeithandTheGirl.com.